This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're talking about IKEA's campaign. It is a Disconnect to Connect. The idea is you put down your mobile phone or device, disconnect from your social media, and concentrate on the people that are sat around you whilst you're having dinner or in a different social encounter. We've asked a whole bunch. I'll start again. We've got responses on WhatsApp and on Twitter. And
that's right. The story. Let's call the turkey hangover.
It is.
Let's do it WhatsApp first. So, Jason Lim says, definitely not. This is plain old table manners. LZ Lim also says the same thing. I am against using gadgets during meals. Chia Tien Yuan says, you know, hey Rich, Tenny here. I never hold my phone when I'm eating, and there's no need to because we eat what's on the plate or bowl and not on tablet. So, yeah, agree with that.
Over to Twitter, yeah,
on Twitter as well, we've got Anas Amin who says, nope, hashtag disconnect to connect. Humans should be outspoken. They should speak to faces instead of having a keyboard war on social media. Humans used to be able to speak up and stand firm instead of hiding behind screens. Mm. Chuck brings up an interesting point. Isn't it ironic that for this campaign to spread, we had to be connected on social media?
Indeed.
And I would like to add to that, by the way, that in the article that Rich mentioned, there's a landing page so that you can post memes about being disconnected.
Yes.
And that is very ironic.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that later on. There's also on Instagram where I posed the question, you know, do you still use your phone at dinner? Rafi0505 says yes. Jega has said never. Ori74 says no. DX Antagonist says yeah when the conversation doesn't interest me.
Ouch.
Ooh, somebody's a bad boy. Makwe Kampong says sometimes. Delina says no, of course not. I've got, oh my gosh, Hans has said mostly no, but one of the times we did was lunchtime after a car ride full of socializing.
That's fair.
Yeah, there you go. That's where we are so far. Keep the messages coming in, folks. 018-789-8899 if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp. Get us on Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. Also, if you want to take part in the giveaway today, giving away over 200 ringgit worth of Nala Designs goodies. It's a cooking set. All you have to do is take part in the conversation. Simple as that. Now, Toys R Us, Jeff.
Yeah, there are tantalizing evidence that hints the key human innovations, including the wheel and weaving, were the outcome of quite literally child's play. So few origin stories are perplexing as the invention of the wheel. Not many still kind of really figured out how we actually got to inventing the wheel. Thomas Edison, he famously claimed that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. For our ancestors, it was that 99% that posed the problem. Even, you know, after they realized that they could move objects with rolling motion, they still need to refine their engineering skills enough to build a wheel that actually works. So, according to Felix Reid, he's an archaeologist at the Aarhus University in Denmark, said that making a full-scale wheel takes a lot of physical resources, and it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of skill. So, how could any prehistoric inventor have afforded to pour so much blood, sweat, and tears into an experiment when there were mouths to feed? So inspired by his young son, Wright decided to come up with a surprising solution. He thinks that the solution, the skills required for technological innovations were actually honed through play. So while the adults went on the serious work of ensuring the group's survival, youngsters naturally experimented with the objects that's around them. And if Wright is right, some of humanity's most important inventions, which is the wheel, weaving and projectile weapons, could have their roots in children's toys. So, you know, remains such as a teeth in the ancient, human history shows that our species, Homo sapiens, usually enjoys an unusually long childhood. They used to have an extended infancy, which gives them more time for imaginative play, which has been shown to train many important cognitive skills, including counterfactual thinking, the ability to ask what if. So surprisingly, no one had examined toys in the archaeological record as objects that might have influenced the cognitive development of our ancestors until Wright decided that, you know what, this, you know, looking at his kid and his, you know, toys all around his house, he decided, like, you know what, I'm going to try and look into this a little bit more further. And in almost every modern society, children play with miniature version of adult toys. So, you know, mini train, you know, play planes and cars and stuff, right? They're miniature versions. So a few psychological studies have shown that the characteristics of toys can have an indirect influence on the cognitive development of the children's brain. In one experiment, kids playing with an open-ended toys, building blocks that can be put together in many different ways, Lego, for example, rather than once forming a particular structure, they tend to be better at solving so-called divergent problems. These require us to generate many solutions, so it's like finding new use cases for familiar objects. Playthings can also help children to understand mechanical properties such as the motion of a rolling ball and practice social roles such as parenting a doll. So according to Wright's hypothesis, prehistoric toys allow children to explore new uses and adaptations of familiar objects while they played. This had, you know, sort of equipped them with greater technological understanding and more flexible outlook that underpins creativity. So he wrote down a paper with a few of his colleagues, and he gave some really interesting insight. For example, records of communities living in Greenland from about 4,500 years ago, they found that the early colonizers, they lacked toys and also showed very little innovation in their material culture. Whereas, in compared in Thule, who migrated into Greenland about 800 years ago, they had many miniature objects that appeared to have designed specifically for children, including toys, toy kayaks, toy sledges, toy weapons, and, you know, dolls as well. And their appearance seems to coincide with an explosion of new adult technologies such as advanced designs of harpoons, sophisticated boats, elaborate clothes as well. So it kind of, you know, it works in the sense that kids were playing miniature versions of familiar items that adults was using. And then it was up to the kids' imaginative to explore more. And when they become adults, they're actually a lot more familiar and they just keep asking, like, what if I were to do something different, right? So it is the invention of the wheel, however, that offers the most compelling support for Wright's idea. The oldest evidence of wheel suggests that the technology of the wheel emerged about 5,500 years ago across the Western Eurasia, in the Northern Caucasus, the Mesopotamia, and also the central part of Northern Europe. But for some two centuries beforehand, we have seen small models of animals with holes drilled through their feet for axle and a ceramic disc that functioned as wheels. So the tops of the animal were hollow, leading to the suggestion that they were maybe used for drinking vessels or maybe used for rituals. But given their size and the fact that they're miniature animals, they could also actually be playthings back then. So just like any toddler with a train set today, children playing with those toys would have been getting grips to the mechanics of a rotary motion, and then they might have used those toys to carry various objects, practicing different ways of propelling them, you know, moving front to back, or like what we would do when we were kids, just, you know, try to put things on a slope and then push it down and see how it rolls, you know, forward, whether it topples over, it, you know, spins around in circles and stuff, right? But they might have actually experimented also with different wheels of different sizes made from maybe different materials, and as those children grew up, maybe those same skills would have helped them to actually make that cognitive leap, which is making a wheel. Mm. So we all just need to play more toys. Lego, guys. Just go out and buy Lego.
I was actually about to mention Legos.
Me too.
Yes.
Yeah. Did we all have Lego as kids?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because the one thing that I wanted to bring up, actually, that I find really interesting is that, you know, give a kid a Lego, they're not going to follow what the instructions say. They're going to make up, like, some weird stuff, right? And then, you know, in my brain, I always thought Legos were, like, just toys and, like, you know, that they weren't particularly useful. And then I got to like year six, so I was maybe 12, and my ICT teacher came in and was like, hey guys, we're going to learn about robots today. And I was like, sweet, robots are cool. And then he brought in Legos. It turns out you can make a robot from Legos, right? Which is amazing. So we learned how to program like tiny little robots that were made out of Legos. And that was the moment where I was like, dang, you know, like Legos are actually like, you can use these toys and make them into something that's actually useful and can move and can do things and can scan things and sense things. And that blew my mind as a child. But that's kind of what I mean. I think, like, you know, the first person to ever make like a Lego robot must have been like, oh, you know, that would just be cool. Mm. And then they did it. And it was like not the intended purpose of what a Lego is supposed to be for, but it's a robot now. So sweet.
So when I was younger, my parents went out
and over a couple of years, managed to get me a Lego Technic set.
Oh yeah,
which was
so good.
Which was a high speed train. Yeah. It had a motor built into it and all kinds of stuff. I remember my dad spending weeks building this thing, and it was great. And you know, it's got train going around the tracks and all that kind of stuff. But I'm thinking to myself, surely we could use this for something more useful. And I remember taking it to pieces and using that motor with three batteries. And I made myself an engraver, and I was engraving stones.
Look at you, the innovator.
Right. And that's what I was doing. But the idea of Lego just kind of being able to take it to pieces and do so many things with it. Whenever any parent says, you know, what should I get my kid as a gift? If they're old enough, Lego is my always go-to.
The best gift ever. If you're still thinking of what to buy for a late Christmas present, New Year's present, just go out and buy some Lego stacks.
I mean,
and also, is it weird that I have more Lego now than I used to have when I was a kid?
No, not at all.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'm going to buy more Lego after this then.
Lego's expensive and now you can afford them. So yeah,
that's a very good point, yes.
I've spent way too much money on my Lego.
Oh, dear. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, we are discussing as alongside Lego and other things. I think, what's wrong with me today? The idea of being able to disconnect to connect, a hashtag that IKEA have thought up about how we're all spending too much time on our devices and social media, and how we should just put stuff away and, you know, get focused on the things around us. We're asking you what you think of this idea. You know, do we spend too much time on our devices, especially in social settings? The idea is to get in touch via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. Any more messages before we take a break?
No, we will come back after the break.
Let's take a short break then. Ladies and gents, music coming up from Wilson Pickett with Land of a Thousand Dancers here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.